It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with NoOffseason.com. Welcome to 7 Minutes of Strategy, part of the Sports Card Strategy Show right here on the NoOffseason.com Sports Card Network. My guest today on 7 Minutes of Strategy is DJ Ski. He's an innovator who has consistently identified the next trends in music and culture, introducing the world to artists like Kendrick Lamar, Lady Gaga, Post Malone, Travis Scott. He's produced for Snoop Dogg and Michael Jackson. His passion and love for the hobby, combined with his ability to influence and improve the experience of all collectors, is unprecedented. Oh, by the way, he's also an investor in Genement, Whatnot, Loop, and other hobby businesses. Why did he create a card with U of M running back Blake Corum? What does he look for when investing in hobby businesses? What is his latest venture, TheRealist.com, all about? What makes game-used and stage-used memorabilia valuable, and why witness-based authentication is important? Advice for aspiring card artists and more on this episode of 7 Minutes with DJ Ski. Let's get into it. DJ Ski, welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show and the NoOffseason.com family. So pumped you're here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. Ski, we help people make money flipping sports cards. I want to ask you, what percentage are you collector versus flipper? And so have you ever flipped sports cards to fund your personal collection?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I launched a fund called Mint 10. So I've been able to segment my personal collecting with my investment collecting. Anything that's for an investment I've done through the fund, and anything that's personal, i.e. anything, all the Minnesota stuff, generally is through myself. So so yes, experience on definitely flipping and buying cards. So
I love
mostly
that.
Buying, not Minnesota. Flipping as much, to tell you the truth, because we like holding. We still think that, especially given, you know, the market circumstances the past couple of years, we think that, you know, and where we see the future going, we've been holding a lot of things versus letting anything go recently.
That's awesome. I want to unpack that later on. Real quick, you mentioned Minnesota. I know also that you're a U of M fan. And so I want to say quickly, as much as it pains me because I'm an MSU graduate, congratulations on the
Let's go. It's so funny. I started working with the University of Michigan a few years ago. Harbaugh reached out because I do a lot of entertainment in the sports world. And first game I ever did was the Ohio State game that they won in 2021. Which was the first time they had entertainment at the Big House during the game and a DJ. And since then, we've amped it up. And I'm fortunate enough to say that I've been undefeated since I've been there at all those games. So, and that's why I'm like debating. I'm like, is this it? Like, I can't like one any higher. Like, do I retire? Do I step away like as a hero right now? Right?
No, so. We need you to come over to Michigan State. I need to talk to some people at Michigan State. We need to get DJ Ski over there because Let's if you're go. Undefeated at U of M, we need you.
Let's go.
Over in East Lansing, baby. So.
Love it. I love it. I just love sports. I love the entertainment of it. So it's been great, such a fun run, man.
So. That's great. So real quick on that note, talk about the Blake Corum card. You just designed a card with Blake Corum and that NIL release. Can you hit on that real quick?
Yeah, 100%. I've got a new business called The Realist. It's an authentication and kind of collectible company focusing on-site authentication, witness-based, where we are witnessing artists, athletes, et cetera, documenting things very similar to the way that MLB's authentication does, which I think is the best in the industry, and we're taking that to other sectors. It's powered by some former MLB authentication executives as well. So teamed up with Blake, we're going to be auctioning off some other items that you'll see from him in the future, game-worn things, etc. But to take advantage of what we knew was coming from the Rose Bowl and what we hoped from the national championship and him just being a good guy and us, we've been talking about doing a card with Michigan guys for a long time. It kind of came together perfectly. So teamed up with him to create this, you know, this really cool card that, you know, designed, and we're having him autograph a serialized number 200 of them. And, you know, we did an incredible run. Like, fortunately, like, Blake was the hero of the Rose Bowl and the MVP of the national championship game for Michigan. So it worked out perfectly. It's a really high quality, really cool card that we're doing witness-based authentication, which means one of our representatives is there documenting, watching him doing that and assigning our gold seal to that item. And it's in direct partnership with Blake, and it's sold on his site and at therealist.com. So it's such a fun project and just the start of more that we'll be doing with Blake and many other athletes.
Awesome. It is a sweet looking card. And speaking of sweet looking cards, you have designed cards for Tops. You have ski companies, which includes Coffee Breakers and Mint 10, which, for those of you who don't know, includes Collectible, Wax, and Genemint. You're an angel investor in specific companies in the hobby like Whatnot, Loop, and culturally significant businesses like StockX and even Underdog Fantasy. And that's like not even 1% of what you have going on. So I wanted to ask you, what are the top three factors you look for when starting or investing in a sports card hobby-related company?
Sure. So for us, it's I think number one boils down to the team, right? What I've learned over the years, right? Like, you can have the best idea in the world, but you need the team that can go out and execute that. So I'd rather invest in a decent idea with a great team, because I trust that they're going to figure it out, versus just a great idea with an unseasoned team. So I think that's first and foremost. Secondarily is like figuring out a problem that has real, that's solving a real world issue and has real world implications. And that means, like, look, there's a lot of things that make sense on paper, but when you take them through the consumer journey, that there might be places that, you know, is somebody really going to go out of their way to use this? Does this make a difference? Is this something that can be duplicated easily by a competitor? Is this something that has, you know, legitimate traction, and trying to find those fault points at any step in that ecosystem? Because building a business is wildly difficult, right? The vast majority of them will not succeed, especially in the startup world. And that's the price of the pay. So you want to think through things that, you know, and get out of just hearing the hype that everybody else is talking about, and seeing what you think really has, you know, the legs for it. And then lastly is things that I can really, you know, that I believe in and passionate about, and that I can add value to, right? Like, if it's a space that I'm, like with sneakers, StockX and Dan Gilbert's team reached out to me because I had a huge sneaker collection and was kind of a figure in that world and scene, and they wanted to add the credibility and get the knowledge from those that were in it. And so it was, obviously it worked out really, really well with StockX. So I want to work with companies that I can really help out, meaning that if it's like a med tech business, probably not my wheelhouse, right? And so it's got to be something that I can, you know, sink my teeth into and play the unfair advantage that I have in the sector to help out beyond just cash.
Are you looking to invest in more sports card hobby-related companies?
So we definitely in the future. Right now, our fund is fully deployed, so we're not making investments in the moment at that. We'll wait on the cycle to come back. And we've had a lot of great wins. You'll see, like, you know, Whatnot, we got in early on. Genemint got acquired by PSA. You know, we invested in Knox, which got acquired as well. Like, so we've had, you know, some good wins out there, and obviously waiting on returns for certain things just in those market cycles. But it's definitely something I want to do. However, also too, it's a time suck and a commitment. The other thing is, you know, in launching a new business for me, I want to go all in and focus on that. So kind of that combination is, while we wait out that fund to kind of come back, and while I'm launching this new business, that's become my priority.
Talk real quick about that new business since you brought it up.
Yeah. So therealist.com. So again, we thought that, like, you know, in going through and investing in all these companies, right? Like, I started looking at, like, what drove the value of game used and stage used memorabilia, and similar to art or anything else, the value strictly goes down to provenance. The Michael Jordan jersey that sold for $10 million on Sotheby's is no difference material wise than one that you could buy for $250 from Fanatics. The difference is the fact that Michael wore it in the game, and the level of provenance was that high. Now, under that, we found other jerseys that might sell for $20,000 that claim to be game worn, but don't have a high quality provenance. And in looking at, like, what certificate of authentications were, it was things that were, it's literally like, I, Paul, in my professional opinion, think that Michael Jordan wore these shoes. Like, no licensing, no legitimacy, no science and data behind them. Ripe to fraud. The FBI estimates that up to 90% of items in the marketplace are fraudulent, which is wild when you think about it. And in looking at programs, photo matching, as we've seen, is so easy to do. Like, there's so many ways to get around that, from recreating items, right, to match a photo, to what we've seen with people faking photos in Photoshop and using them to line items up. We think witness-based authentication with trusted third-party people that document the whole way, they don't have an incentive in that upside, is the only way to go. MLB's authentication program is probably the best in class. And that was kind of where we took the foundation from and have taken that to another level, and not even focusing just on the primary sales, but on the secondary sales. We have a really unique covert marking kind of fingerprinting tool that we use, that we can revalidate things in perpetuity. So we can not only guarantee items at the initial sale, but on each subsequent secondary sale. So we're really excited about that business. We launched a big auction with Megadeth to end last year on the music side. We just launched the Blake Corum drop, and you'll see us working with a lot of other teams, players, leagues, artists, athletes, and film and even TV companies. So
you've infused hip hop culture into so many of your card designs, from Topps Project 70 and 100 card designs. Some of my favorites, I'm just going to list off my favorites here. Yeah, there's so many of them. Acuna, AT Aliens.
That's my favorite one, I think.
Is that your favorite one?
That and the Otani are my favorites.
I mean, I've got the Jackie Robinson, B.I.G. Life After Death, the Mookie Betts, N.W.A., Death Row, Kendrick Lamar, the Mike Trout Death Row Records. I bought the Mickey Mantle, Marshall Mathers LP. I mean, the Byron Buxton DMX, Kirby Puckett, Purple Rain. There's so many where you've hit the culture along and infused that in with the sports cards. These cards all sold out on tops.com fairly quickly and consistently, sell well on the secondary market as well. I'm sure this type of mainstream success didn't come overnight for you. Can you talk about the journey, and what are the top three things you want to tell our audience about who may aspire to create card art like this for a major sports card manufacturer?
Sure. So I'd always, you know, it was funny, is I've always been an artist, right? And like in a creative, and it spans multiple things. Obviously, I made my name primarily in the music industry as a DJ. But as part of that, right? Like if you look at my journey, I, you know, started off in the mixtape realm and DJ sector, right? And in mixtapes, we were photoshopping and creating our own covers and like creating these wild things, especially if you look in like the early 2000s. You'll see a lot of those ones that I've did with, you know, Kendrick, with Game, with Snoop, with all these artists over the years. So when Topps approached me, I was obviously a huge card fan. I was doing some content for them around the first Project 2020 that they did. And they told me they were going to do Project 70. I was like, I'd love to be involved. And then it took me a while, because I was like, what am I going to do? I didn't want to just like design like a card and something. I didn't think that was special and that was what was going to be my unique voice, right? And I didn't think that would make sense. And then I was like, dude, I'm overthinking and it's obvious. Let's remix these covers, right? Like, let's take sports and music, which is what I do, right? Like running entertainment, the Vikings, for Rams, University of Michigan, Twins, et cetera, all these different places. I think that, you know, I was like, let's do the same thing with cards. Let's take iconic, you know, artists and album covers and pair them and put athletes in them, right? Let's take Ronald Acuna Jr. and put him in the AT Aliens cover, which is one of the craziest covers of all time, right? Let's take Byron Buxton and, you know, the BUX, DMX, DMX that just passed. Let's put that together. Let's take Prince, Kirby Puckett, Purple Rain, right? Like Deion Sanders, Migos, Culture, like all these things that lined up and remix them, right? And it, fortunately, it really connected. I think the storytelling that I tried to do and all that, like there's so many hidden elements that I put in each card. Like there's so much time spent on just the thought process behind them. And luckily it connected. I remember doing, you know, Fernando Tatis's card with Bad Bunny, and his team reached out. He loved it so much. They brought me out throughout the first pitch of the Padres game. And we've talked about doing some other really cool collabs, but I think like sports and music, that's really where I sit and where I live and the lifestyle elements of those things. And I was super thankful for Topps for giving me that platform, and super thankful to the fans that were able to, that went out and supported and bought that and bought into that story.
I could talk to you for hours and hours, man, but did a great job just staying true to yourself, staying organic to yourself. And it shows in how well everyone in the market connected with those cards. So
Thank you,
DJ Ski. Thanks so much for joining us on the Sports Card Strategy Show here on the NoOffSeason.com Sports Card Network. It was awesome having you, man.
Paul, you're the man. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you all for the support.
That was 7 minutes that turned into 13 minutes of amazing strategy with our guy DJ Ski. Thank you so much, DJ Ski, and my guy Q Harrison and Andre for lining all of this up with our new friend of the Sports Card Strategy Show, DJ Ski. Thanks all of you for watching and listening and for all of your support of the NoOffSeason.com content network. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Drop a comment below. Let us know how we did. And if you have any requests for guests on 7 Minutes of Strategy, I want to know. Thanks so much. Have a great day. We'll see you again soon.